Dr. Mitchell, welcome to Around It About.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me back.
So it is Valentine's Day today, and I think the worst possible gift you could give someone today is exercise equipment. You know, like give them a treadmill with a card that says, Happy Valentine's Day, sweetie. We're fat. We eat crap. Love you. But it is, I think, a serious problem because, you know, just a month ago, we all made these New Year's resolutions that, oh, I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to do it. It's really going to happen this time. And I imagine this is the point in the year when a lot of us have kind of given up on that dream.
Yeah, so this is kind of, you know, we're coming on the tail end of everybody having that inspiration of I want to make a big change and this is how I'm going to do it. And, okay, I've gotten into this a couple weeks and this is hard to do. And then we go to Valentine's Day where the typical gifts, you know, are typically chocolate and these things that, you know, types of foods that are really hard for us to burn off if we're not being active. So this is a difficult time of year, I think, but this is a well-planned conversation, I think, to have. You know, it's funny when you're saying like, you know, your significant other gives you a gift of, you know, some type of exercise stuff.
Yeah.
I would be super flattered.
Really?
Yeah. You know, and I think you're kind of getting at the mentality of how we think about stuff. And so one of the things that we've referenced in our earlier conversations was redefining the way that you think about yourself and the way that you consume food, as well as the way that you perform your activity throughout the day. I've mentioned before that food is a fuel source and our bodies are machines and we try to fuel them for performance. And looking at the exercise component of stuff, we really try to focus on making people or trying to get people to understand that it's not necessarily like this drudgery of exercise that we have to focus on. It's more activity.
Well, activity. Okay. That's interesting because I do think of it as exercise. Like I've got to get on the treadmill. And it's not a lot of fun, but at least I can watch TV or listen to the radio or podcasts and things and kind of kill that time while I'm sitting there doing this mind-numbing thing of walking. So what is activity? How can activity be fun as opposed to the drudgery of exercise?
Absolutely. So activity, you know, when we look at when I'm counseling patients in my clinic about, you know, healthy lifestyle change, one of the things that I'm super upfront about is asking, what do you do for intentional exercise? And intentional is really important to throw in there because a lot of times people will say like, oh, I'm active at my job. I run around all the time and I'm going up and down stairs or I'm lifting stuff. That's not the type of intentional exercise that when we look at the benefits of exercise and training, you don't see the same types of benefits with a quote unquote active job. So I really try and get that to people out there, you know, saying, hey, you know, you need to be doing intentional activity here. So how I get people over this idea of like, oh, gosh, man, I really got to be on this treadmill today and I don't want to, is making it fun and enjoyable and also knowing, yeah, a workout is a workout, but have you ever met anybody that has ever regretted a workout?
Well, that's true. You do, or at least I do, feel better afterwards and I sleep better and just, yeah, it improves my life when I can force myself to do it.
Exactly.
So how do you make it fun? What can you do that's fun when you're exercising?
So there's a couple things, and they're really – it's some of them are unique to indoor training, but you can also apply some of these principles to outdoor training as well. I like to talk to people about, you know, tapping that inner athlete. And also this is the time when I feel like when I'm in there on the treadmill or I'm on the indoor trainer with my bike – that's when I also tap my what I call my inner rock goddess.
Okay.
And that's where you basically, like for me, I'm somebody who really enjoys working out with music. I find it very motivating. I have my certain genres of music. But there's nothing better to me than being able to get onto the treadmill and cranking up some classic AC/DC or whatever it is you want to listen to.
Yeah.
Just to get it going because some people really do connect with that. I think other things that help people be invested in that moment during the workout is having a workout partner.
Okay.
So, and if you're able, you know, whether it's a significant other, whether it's a family member, a friend, there is something very inspirational that happens in a group setting when people are exercising together. If you haven't had the experience of it, I really encourage people to go out there and try it because as you form friendships through your workout community, you'll find that as you go through the challenges of a workout, it's a bonding experience. And that bonding experience brings people back. You're seeking that social interaction with somebody that while you might think, okay, my goal here is to get the workout in, But hey, it's also to hang out with so-and-so because they're actually pretty funny to hang out with, especially during a workout. So I really try and get people together in a group format. One of the things I focus on in my health and lifestyle education classes in the eating meeting is having people coming together from the very first meeting in a group environment. Because as people start to ask questions, those barriers of, oh, I don't know that person, those are broken down. And then people's personalities start to come out and you realize there's friendships that are made. And those friendships are really going to be part of the foundation of what's going to carry you through in an exercise program.
For people who, you know, don't live close to a gym, who don't live close to a park and don't want to drive because it seems kind of stupid to drive somewhere so you can walk around, what can you do at home to actually get some exercise?
Oh, that's a great question. One of the things I focus on in the second session of eating meeting is how to make your own indoor gym for less than $100.
Tell me. That
sounds great. Yeah. So this is good stuff. The fundamentals of, you know, building your own indoor gym for less than $100 focus on using the body's own resistance for training. So the equipment involved in the notion of building your own gym for less than $100, there's some very core essential things that I look at. Number one, I have my patients pick up what's called an ab ball, which looks like a giant beach ball.
Oh, yes. I've seen those. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one piece of equipment that has so many uses for it. And I really focus on having people develop core strength. And you hear this buzzword a lot, you know, core strength.
Yeah.
What is it? Core strength is really looking at the abdominal muscles in the front of the body as well as our back muscles, because that's what's going to stabilize our chest and stomach and low back. And so these are muscles that are really important, not only in just our daily activities, but as you start to tap your inner athlete and become more active, you'll find that whether or not you play soccer, if you swim, if you run, if you ride a bike, those are all muscles that you're going to use in every single sport and activity and your daily activity. So I really focus on having people develop a strong core strength right from the get-go and stuff. So the ab ball is great for being able to come back and build that core foundation of strength. The next piece of equipment that I encourage people to look at are exercise bands. And so a band,
like the giant rubber bands?
Exactly. It looks like a jump rope that's made of elastic that has handles on the end of it. And you can pick up, like, the ab ball probably runs around $20 at Target or a place like that. And then the jump rope itself, the elastic jump rope or elastic band, that'll run $12.
Yeah.
And these are really cheap pieces of equipment. The nice thing about the exercise bands is that you can use them for a lot of upper body and lower body resistance exercises. So in doing something as simple as holding the handles in your hand and then stepping onto the band with your shoes, you've suddenly got a whole upper body routine in terms of bicep curls. You can do triceps off of the bands. You can tie the bands onto your doorknobs and have basically shoulder types of exercises you can do. You can tie them to something that's low, like a couch post, you know, that your furniture sets on, something heavy, and you can start to do leg resistance exercise with them.
Well, that would work out well for me because you were saying work out with a partner. I can be the dude who sits on the couch while somebody else works out.
But we're going to make you sit and work on the couch as you, like, you know, spot your partner. So maybe we could have you at both ends pulling at the same time. The other part of exercise equipment that I encourage people to start with is like a basic set of dumbbells. You know, just looking at like what's your kind of lowest minimal weight that you can lift. And I'm not telling people to go out and buy the 20-pound dumbbell set, you know, for each side. I'm just saying pick up maybe like a 5-pound or 8-pound, 10-pound dumbbell, two, you know, one for each arm, and start working with that. Because I stress that I want people – if you're looking to bulk up in terms of muscle mass, then that's a different type of workout. But I focus on, when I say strength, I'm talking from an endurance athlete's perspective. So pretty much lean body mass. There's muscle there, but not a lot. We're trying to get fat mass down. So I'm going to stress actually lower to moderate levels of weight, but much longer repetitions over time. So there's a fatigue that comes into that. And so that combination, and my last piece of equipment is something as simple as a broomstick.
A broomstick? What do you do with a broomstick?
The broomstick is great because what we're trying to, again, emphasize is we start combining muscle movements to engage core stability while we're doing other tasks. So where most people might traditionally sit on a bench while they're doing bicep curls, I have people get on the ab ball. Why? Because you're engaging core as you're sitting there. It's not easy to balance on those things. So doing bicep curls at the same time that you're working core is a much more effective workout rather than just sitting on something that's already stabilizing you like a bench or a chair.
Okay.
So the broomstick comes into play basically by using the body's own weight. So you're basically doing things like standing leg raises. But what you're trying to do then is putting like a broomstick out to the side where you're slightly leaning on that. So you're trying to balance off of a stick, if that makes sense, while still trying to do another exercise. So again, you're getting more core muscles involved with stuff.
So I don't need the $5,000 gym that I see on late night TV.
You don't.
Well, we are just about out of time. Where can people go for more information?
Great question. We have the Chattanooga Sports Institute and Center for Health. Our phone number is 875-1005. You can also go to our website, which is www.chattanoogasportsinstitute.com. And you can also find me through Facebook, Danielle Mitchell, and that links up to our Facebook page as well.
Thank you so much for joining us. Happy Valentine's Day.
Thanks. You too.